Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me for today's COVID-19 update. Of course, we have Secretary Nate Smith and Dr. Jose Romero with us. But I have actually to begin this today with an important announcement, and I'm pleased to be joined by the Secretary of State, John Thurston, as well as the chairman of the two major political parties in Arkansas, Doyle Webb, chairman of the Republican Party, and Michael John Gray, who is chairman of the Democratic Party. They're here to join me for an important discussion. And I first want to reflect back on absentee voting. State law, as many know, provides that absentee voting is for voters that can request an absentee ballot if they will be unavoidably absent from the polls on Election Day or be unable to attend a polling site on Election Day due to illness or physical disability. The Secretary of State, John Thurston, has interpreted this to apply to health concerns related to COVID-19. If anyone has a health concern for COVID-19 on Election Day, November 3, then they can request an absentee ballot, be qualified under the law for that absentee ballot, and they will be able to receive and vote in an absentee fashion. I am pleased to say that I am in full agreement with the Secretary of State's interpretation of this, and I fully support that, and we'll work to implement that. But I'll let the chairman of the party speak for themselves, but that's the reason that we're here today, to show the fact that we might disagree on a lot of different issues, but on this issue, when it comes to easier access to the polls and a safe environment during COVID-19, we are all in agreement on this particular issue. And with that, let me first invite Michael John Gray, if you'll come and make your comment, followed by Doyle Webb, and then we'll take the Secretary of State last. Michael John.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon. We don't always disagree, Governor, but we do often between the two parties. But this is an issue that we all feel is very important, absentee ballots, the safety or the concerns that people may have as they approach the polling places in November. And working with the governor, I think this is how we get things done, is we look past our differences to see what makes the most sense. And I tend and have had conversations with the governor before to agree with Secretary Thurston's interpretation of this. I think we have a challenge ahead of us in conversations with the governor and the Secretary of State. We have a challenge moving forward of educating the voters on how to properly obtain, how to properly document, how to properly use absentee ballots, as well as questions from the local government on the increased costs surrounding this and the processes from here to Election Day as they concern absentee ballots. With the governor and Secretary Thurston have expressed an interest to tackle those as they come up and have a reasonable conversation, just as what I believe we've seen government do here today, and we are encouraged and appreciative of both you, Governor, and Secretary Thurston for helping move this forward in such a manner. With that, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor, for your leadership and all you're doing during this crisis in our state. I'm pleased to be here to support what the Secretary of State is doing and encourage our voters to, if they are concerned about their health, to request an absentee ballot. That can be done starting now, is my understanding. It requires personal responsibility. You need to make that request as a registered voter, and then once you receive your ballot, you will send back with it your voter ID. We have constitutional voter ID. It's an important distinction between just mail-in ballots. Mail-out ballots are where you just mail a ballot to everyone on the voter registration, and you don't have the security of knowing that they they are registered and if they are, or if they're still a qualified elector, and you're not certain if there's a voter ID proof there. So we're very excited that this will be known now. We will use our best efforts to spread this to the electorate in Arkansas, and hopefully we'll have a good turnout this year in November. Thank you, Governor.
All right. Thank you, Governor, for calling us together to help provide clarity concerning the November election. I always like to quote this Spanish philosopher anytime I'm talking about elections, and it's Spanish philosopher José Ortega Gasset. And he said, "The health of democracies of whatever type and range depends on a wretched technical detail, electoral procedure. All the rest is secondary." So elections are the bedrock of our republic, and among the election community across the nation, security was the topic, you know, with Russian interference and so forth. And then COVID came. And then everyone began to talk about what will the November elections look like. And then all of a sudden, we begin having different parts of our society begin to close due to COVID. And the question still was, what is the November election going to look like? There are some federal dollars through the CARES Act that the states received to help with COVID expenses during the November election. And still the question was among our folks here in Arkansas, what will the November election look like? And it is our position, my position in the Secretary of State's office, is that the November election will look like all of the other elections in the past. With the exception, there will be folks wearing masks, there will be gloves, there will be hand sanitizer and those type of things. And those products are being purchased from the CARES Act funds, and we have made some purchases already. And one particular item that I'm very excited about is some stylist pens, disposable stylist pens that we're going to purchase for the counties, and then we'll have plenty for every single voter that wants to show up to the poll. And it's disposable, so you can sign your name on the signature pad, go to the machine and vote, cast your vote, and then throw the pen away. So when you come to the polling sites, technically, you should not have to touch a single thing other than that stylus pen. So I'm very excited about that. Also want to just give some dates on if you are interested in voting absentee. If you wish to receive a ballot by mail, your application must be received by mail or fax deadline. It is October the 27th. You may still get ballots in person or by a bearer until November the 2nd. And absentee ballots must be received by 7:30 on Election Day. So when the polls close, if you have an absentee ballot that is not turned in, it will not be accepted. You also have 2 weeks of early voting ahead of the election. So if you want to pick a day during those 2 weeks to go vote. To obtain an absentee ballot, to receive an application, you can contact your county clerk, or you can go to our website at sos.arkansas.gov under the Elections tab. And lastly, you must be a registered voter. So I want to make sure you know that. If you plan to vote in the November election, you must register prior to that, and the deadline to register for the November election is October the 5th. So with that, I want to wish everyone a happy and safe 4th of July, and thank you, Governor, for bringing us together.
Thank you, each of you. And if you all, I think you all will be available if you can wait around. And after we present our case update, then there might be questions that could be addressed if necessary. But I want to thank each of you for the way we've come together to work through this, keeping in mind the well-being of our voters, and that's of the highest premium for us. And now that brings us to today's case update. Yesterday, we had 21,197 cases. We have, in the last 24 hours, an additional 878 cases. And for those who watched it yesterday, I believe it was 420, so that's a double of the cases that we had yesterday, which was reflecting a number of days of decline. That brings us to 22,075 cases. In terms of hospitalizations, we've had a decrease of 3 hospitalizations. That brings us to 272. In terms of deaths, we have an additional 2 deaths as a result of COVID-19. That brings us to 279. The top counties are different. Of the 878 cases, Hot Spring County has 151. Obviously, that's the Ouachita River Correctional Unit that's there that would account for many of those. Washington County had 117, Pulaski County 98, Benton County 75, Sebastian 55, Faulkner 35, Crawford 23, and the rest under 20. And you can actually see that the new cases, they're largely around different parts of the state. We tested 7,089, so it was a complete day of testing. If we go to the slides, you can see the downward trend, and then we had this high day, which is actually, now that I look at it, the most cases in any one day that we've had, new cases in any one day. And then if you go to the rolling average, you see the orange line. We've been down. We have this uptick as a result of this increase. And then you'll see the number of currently hospitalized COVID-19. And here again, we see that downward trend, which is really, really good to have that cushion from our high water mark. We watch that very carefully. Obviously, with new cases, it makes you concerned about whether that's going to lead down the road 2 weeks from now to increase hospitalizations. We'll see. And then the number of active cases, as Dr. Smith pointed out yesterday. Yesterday was one of our first days of decline in active cases, and today we are back up in our active cases, still hovering around the 6,000 level. In terms of our testing, this is our percent positive test that is still in a good trend that we see in terms of our positivity rate, and we'll continue to watch that. And I believe that concludes those that we have. This one, I wanted to talk to you all about this slide, but I decided to yield to Dr. Smith on that one. He requested that slide today. I joked with him that he finally came up with a slide I couldn't steal from him. So we'll wait for his message on that. I did want to add one word to everyone. This is coming into the July 4th weekend, which we can all celebrate our Independence Day. And I made the mention of this to our colleagues from the political parties today and the Secretary of State, that we will have canvassers that will be out on various ballot initiatives this weekend. They will be any place that people are gathered. This is the hallmark of our democracy, the petition process, the initiated ballot process. But I would encourage everyone, when you're out, to wear a mask. And if you're a canvasser, wear a mask. That is what we encourage in Arkansas. Some of the canvassers will be from out of state, and I know that some of them are from Arizona. And so we want all of them to wear a mask, and as you have a canvasser that might want you to do a signature, just make sure that you have a mask on and that you're both protected as you exercise this principle of democracy on Independence Weekend. So it's an important time. Make sure that we do our job in terms of democracy, but also make sure that we stay healthy over the weekend as well. With that, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. With the
numbers that have come in from yesterday, obviously, this is not good news. We had had a downward trend, but with 878 new cases, that's our single highest day, and as the governor's mentioned, over twice as high as yesterday. Now, part of this, I'm not going to say this is due to more testing, but our variation in number of positive results is partly due to where we're testing. I'm not saying that twice as many people were infected one day as opposed to the other, but we're detecting them because we're doing testing. But this is concern. We've got a lot more positives than we did yesterday. Now, of these 878, at least 150 of them are correctional. I'll come back to that when we go through the counties. Our total, as the governor said, is 22,075. Of these, 6,098 are active cases. The governor's already mentioned we've had a slight decrease in the number currently hospitalized. We're down to 272, a decrease of 3. Again, this is likely to come up as we're having new cases. We have 69 on a ventilator. That's a decrease of 3. And we've had 2 additional deaths. So we're at 279 deaths. We have 15,698 recovered. That's 535 more than yesterday. The governor has mentioned the top counties. Particularly note Hot Spring County with 151 as our lead, and those are most, if not all, in the correctional facility there. For Pulaski County at 98, about half of those are in Little Rock, about a quarter of those are North Little Rock, and then the remaining ones are throughout the county. Washington County, as been noted, is up to 117 new cases. So that's a concern. We have been trying to increase the testing in Washington County, as has been noted before. The number of tests done per population in Washington County has been actually below that for the state, below that for compared to Benton County. So we've been trying to increase the amount of testing, making that more available to more of the residents there. So we'll continue to do that. It's important that we find these cases so that we can implement isolation and then quarantine of contacts. And that's actually what I wanted to talk about with this slide. If we can, this slide is not a data slide. It's there to illustrate concepts. It has to do with testing, and I'll explain it briefly, and then I'll get to my point. Once someone is infected, there's this blue line that comes up, and that's showing the amount of virus. We detect that with a PCR assay. It says SARS coronavirus 2, which is the name given to the virus that causes COVID-19, RNA, that's the genetic material, but also antigen tests will pick up the virus as well. And we see that those increase even before someone develops symptoms. There's this dotted line there. When someone develops symptoms, and then at some point you have these, the green line and the red line, we're not going to pay very much attention to today, but these are different antibodies that can be picked up with an antibody test. So the reason why you wouldn't want to use an antibody test when someone is symptomatic is because you're going to miss a lot of cases. Now, later on, after someone's recovered, then you're likely to pick up the antibody on that test. Now, coming back to this blue line, which is, these would be the results, for example, of the PCR assay, the test that we're doing with the nasal swabs. Early on, the amount of virus in the nose, in the nasal secretions, is still low. So if you were to do a test then, early on in infection, it could be negative. Now, by the time someone gets to where they have symptoms, it's very likely that that test would be positive. So if someone comes in and they have symptoms and they test positive, you'd be pretty confident that they're infected. If they test negative, then it's probably something else. Now, if you test someone before they become symptomatic, Maybe they've been exposed to someone, and so they come in and they want to get tested. Well, the amount of virus may still be pretty low. If you get a positive test, then you know they're infected, and they need to go into isolation, and we need to do a contact tracing on the people they've been in contact with, et cetera. But if that test is negative, it may be just that we haven't gotten enough time for the virus to get up to a detectable level. So if someone who's been exposed to someone, say someone in your family tested positive, you said, well, I want to know, am I infected? So you go and you get a test, it comes back negative. You say, great, I have a negative test result. Well, you still could be infected. And that's why someone in that setting needs to be quarantined for 14 days, because we may have just tested them too early. If you tested them later, they may turn positive. And certainly, if someone who's in quarantine develops symptoms, then we want them to go get tested, because by that time, the test is probably going to be positive. Unfortunately, sometimes people say, well, I've been in contact with someone who tested positive. I'm going to go get tested. They get tested. They say, "Ooh, I'm glad it's negative." And then they go on with their life. Well, it may be just that the virus is at too low a level to pick up. And then they go on, and then they're shedding virus, and then other people are becoming infected, and then they become symptomatic, and then they get tested, and it's positive. They say, "I don't understand. I tested negative just a few days before." Well, that's how these tests work. And so it's very important, if someone has been exposed to someone who's tested positive, they need to be in 14 days of quarantine regardless of the result of that test. We still want them to get tested, because if it tests positive, then we can start working on their contacts as well. But the 14 days quarantine is important, and you don't have to wait for someone to call you and tell you. If you know that there's someone that you've been in contact with who's tested positive, you need to start self-quarantining right away. Don't wait for someone to tell you what to do, because you already know what to do, because you heard me say it. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. With that, we'll take questions.
Any idea of the reason for the spike in cases, and are you concerned about it? What do you think about this?
Well, in one sense, when you look at the surrounding states, and I look at them just about every day, you see upward trends. You also see some days that really spike high and down. And as Dr. Smith said, I do believe a large part of it is because of the increased testing that we're doing. You're concerned about the largest increase in one day in the number of cases, but with the way that this is going, it very well could be, I don't think it reflects a trend. We'll see. A trend is multiple days, and we don't see a trend yet, because the last trend we had was headed down. We'll see whether this is a trend or whether it is an isolated day. We hope that that is an isolated day, and that it gives us 800 new cases in which we can build on, isolate, trace, and do what we need to do to stop the spread.
On the vote by the absentee voting announcement today, is there any discussion about expanding the time frame for early voting? And then we've also seen some other states open up like arenas or convention centers as polling locations. Is there any talk about doing that in some of Arkansas's more populated areas?
There's not been any discussion on those issues in terms of the early voting. I think there certainly can be a discussion about whether there should be in each county additional locations. That's a resource issue. It's a local county election commission issue. But I think we've got to measure that as we get closer to the election as to, whether we're going to see a significantly number more absentee, which I would expect, or whether they're going to be more early voting. And they've got to respond to that, each county, on those issues. This is really the foundational part of the election, what we announced today in the Secretary's State's initiative. The rest of it, we will take a step at a time as to what funds are needed and what additional changes might be needed on an emergency fashion. And I invite if anybody else wanted to elaborate on that. Yes.
I have a question for Secretary Thurston about applying for an absentee ballot. So you said you could call the county clerk, or you could go to the website. Is that to download something?
That's right. You can download the application from our website.
And that's all you need to do. Mail that in, right?
That's right.
And then you all will send back the ballot.
Right. The county, each county will. That's right.
Send back the ballot. And then is that going to be accompanied by a stamped envelope, or will people have to?
That's a good question. Part of the CARES Act that I mentioned, we hope that we can use some of that for postage, but we have pending litigation right now, so can't really comment a whole lot on where all that money is exactly going because of the pending litigation.
And then, so you have to prove that you're a valid voter, right, when you send it back. How do you do that?
Right, well, your address and your signature, and you
photocopy.
That's right. You do not. You are essentially voting provisional, and you, when you sign, you're signing an affidavit swearing that you are who you say you are under the risk of perjury, and so essentially an absentee vote is essentially a provisional vote. Yes.
Yes.
Why not just send an absentee ballot request form to every registered voter, rather than assume that they're watching this press conference or even have internet access to be able to request a form?
Well, me personally, that kind of goes back to funding and also technically anyone can send, the clerks can send an application out. There's no law preventing them from doing so, and there's nothing preventing you from copying it, sending it to someone. I mean, it's on the website. So I guess we'll have to look at that. But I mean, I know some states are, but it may come down to simply funding, because it's a huge price tag when you talk about postage, sending the application, them mailing it back, you mailing out the ballot, them returning it. And so you're looking at a huge price tag, in my opinion. Just some numbers you may be interested in. 2016, there were around 42,000 absentee votes here in Arkansas. So how many are we going to have in November? There's really no way to measure it. I would speculate somewhere around 100, 150. I don't know. Just depends on the trend, as the governor says, and how things progress.
Are we going to start tabulating any of those absentee ballots before actual election day?
No. No, sir.
Healthcare providers in Northwest Arkansas put out a statement today saying they are having a bottleneck with their testing supplies, and so they're restricting the criteria to get tested. I was wondering what you think about that, if you're planning on doing anything in response to that to make sure there's enough testing.
Let me answer that, then I invite Dr. Smith to make his remarks on that question, because it is a very important question. And I have spoken to the hospital administrators there. They discussed this issue with us, and they're utilizing their own in-house capacity for testing. That is a quick turnaround test, and that's where they have limited amount of supply. We know that people have come there and they want to test. The hospital is going to make sure that they follow the guidelines of the Department of Health. We've tried to broaden that so that we encourage more people to be tested, and I think that's one of the reasons you see 7,000 tests. But they have a limited capacity there at the hospitals. Dr. Smith, the health department has offered to work with them to increase that, to make sure that people who want to test can have the test done that's needed and utilizing some of the resources of the Department of Health. But let me paint this more in a national picture for a moment. What we're seeing is that the Department of Health has escalated their testing, but we're still reliant on the majority of tests from commercial labs. In some instances, the commercial labs have now have such a backlog that it's taking 7 days to get the test back. That is way too long. I've urged publicly that we need to take a national approach to testing, because when you look at Texas, when you look at California, these hot spots, Arizona, that's needing more testing supplies. You add that to states like Arkansas, there's a huge pressure point right now. And we need to make sure that we are looking ahead not just to this month but next month as we continue to expand testing to increase that supply chain of testing supplies so we don't run into those choke points that the hospitals are worried about. Dr. Smith.
Yes, as the governor has said, the hospitals, they really do need to focus their resources on the sick patients that they're caring for. They have the platforms they're using are can give them results in an hour or a few hours, depending which platform they're using. And those are the reagents for those are in limited supply. They also can send those tests out to commercial labs, but the problem is if they send a lot of those out, then the turnaround time gets longer and longer. So we will come alongside them, and we are working with them to see how we can have more of those individuals have their tests collected and sent to the public health lab. We've expanded our capacity of the public health lab. We're bringing on a second high-throughput machine, so we'll be able to pick up some of that slack, and whether it's them collecting the specimen and sending it to us or referring the patients to a testing site that's nearby, we want to make sure that those people get tested, but we also want to make sure the hospitals are able to use their resources to take care of the sick patients that they have that are under their care. So we'll work with them to make that possible.
As we hit a record high today, do you think there is any measure that you would consider taking to curb the spread that you haven't already done?
We think about that every day. And if we see something that is a useful tool that we can implement, we will do that. The key, of course, is the identification of the virus, which is the testing. It is the follow-up through contact tracing and the isolation. That strategy is effective. We just have to continue to implement that along with the individual discipline of each resident of Arkansas. And that's what we're asking for their help over the weekend. If there's additional tools, we are looking at any way to get a handle on this every day.
But where's the state at currently when it comes to their testing supply inventory?
You know, the Department of Health is continuing to do yeoman work in terms of testing, and they have the immediate supply for that. I'm more worried about late in July, August, and whether that supply chain that we have in any way dries up. And so right now, that is good. The challenge, I think, would be in the commercial side and the delays that would be there because of the national demand, and then individual hospitals that you need unique types of supplies, and that's part of the commercial structure as well.
Is there anything that the state can do to help supplement those commercial labs, or are they just kind of on their own to procure their own supplies?
Commercial labs are their own entities that are all across the country. So we don't have any influence over the commercial labs, but we can partner, as Dr. Smith has indicated, with the hospitals that might be challenged to make sure that, you know, they can take the swab, they can send that into the Department of Health and be tested so we can utilize our resources to help. Let's go remotely if there's a question.
Yeah, Governor, this is Allison with 4029.
Go ahead, Allison.
Once again, talking about the statement from the local hospitals and health partners, knowing that there is a concern for testing supplies, here lately there have been a lot of mass testing events that have been put on by Community Care Clinic and Washington Regional, other hospitals in our area, and they've seen long lines, a lot of people showing up for these. Had the hospital's administrators indicated to you that these things will not be continuing because they are unsure of their resources for this type of testing event?
No, they want to make sure that there's a consistent message out there, and that's one of the conversations we had with them. We've been advocating more testing. Well, you know, our criteria is more limited, and that's what they wanted to be able to focus on. And so we've worked out a relationship with them that we can utilize the resources of the Department of Health to make that more comprehensive. But let me give you an example. I talked to someone that, Dr. Smith, I didn't tell you this, but they received three robocalls asking if they wanted to be tested and to go down to the public health lab. And so that's terrific. But that is just a random sampling that we're pushing out testing to that extent. And the hospitals obviously, you know, have to limit their resources. So it's a matter of coordination with the hospitals. The Department of Health is doing more testing events themselves out there, particularly in Washington County, because people want that testing. We want to make sure it's available, whether it's through the hospitals or whether it's through the health department clinics. Dr. Smith, this is an important question.
I agree. We're continuing to offering testing for COVID-19, the SARS coronavirus 2 testing in our local health units, and we're currently testing about 700 a day, Monday through Friday. And those who are not in need of hospital care, for example, could go there or some of these off-site testing events, and then the hospitals are able to use their reagents, their supplies for their in-house testing for the patients who need hospital care or need care in their clinics. So it's a both and. I don't want people not to get tested, but we may need to test them in local health units or off-site testing events. Then they can send the test swab into our lab. We can turn that around in a day or two and get the results back. Eventually, commercial labs will get through their backlog and be able to turn those around more quickly. But for now, we can pick up some of that slack in the public health lab.
And another question remotely.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a couple questions for you. Dr. Fauci this week had talked about concerns about bars and said that Americans need to stop congregating in bars because of the concern of spreading the virus. I know you've talked about targeted measures potentially or targeted approach depending on what happens at different bars. But do you think Arkansas, given that advice and given the latest numbers, needs to look at doing what other states have done and close bars or reimpose restrictions on bars? And had a second question on the absentee ballots issue. Wanted to clarify, are you issuing any kind of executive order to formalize what you've said, or do you think just the statement and having the two-party chairman with you is enough?
What we've done today, and with the action of the Secretary of State, who is also chairman of the State Board of Election Commissioners, I think that adequately solves the problem as to whether a COVID-19 reason is good for an absentee ballot. That issue is resolved. In terms of other issues that might come up, we'll take them on a case-by-case basis as to whether there's additional need for any executive order as we get closer to the election. In terms of the bars, we have to remember that these are people that individuals and businesses that have invested money, that have capital at stake, that have employees, that have a license, and they've done everything that they should do, you should not close them down unless there is a good, legitimate public health reason to do so. We already have restrictions on capacity. We have guidelines. And if we see that that is being abused, we see that they're not being followed, then, yes, we can pull their license. We can close one of them down, and we will do that. But until we have that correlation, until we have that data, that would just be the wrong thing to do, to rip somebody's investment out of their hands and the employees, put them on the unemployment line. So we're looking at behavior, we're looking at compliance, and obviously asking for everyone's cooperation there.
The vote by mail thing, I just want to clarify the analysis. It'll be enough for someone to just say, hey, I'm concerned that I might contract the virus or spread it or whatever. They don't actually have to say I have some pre-existing condition, or they're not going to have to show some doctor's note.
Not at all. They just simply have a concern, a fear of going to the polling place because of COVID-19, that's enough of a reason. Leslie, and then we'll go here.
Have you, since you speak to the Vice President, have you raised your desire with him that there be a national process for assuring tests? Have you said to the Vice President?
I have not had a personal conversation with the Vice President on this. I've made some public comments on it, and I hope to be visiting with the White House on that as I have opportunity. Yes.
Governor, as the number of cumulative and active cases grow, do you think that Arkansas went into phase two too early?
No, I don't believe that we did. Again, think about what phase two was. It's simply saying restaurants can have up to two-thirds instead of one-third. Some of the venues can open up to that extent, and gymnasiums. And again, we do not see any connection between lifting those restrictions to that extent and the new cases that we have. We'll monitor that every week.
Will polling places fall under the indoor venue guidelines, or are we going to be limiting capacity, mask required, and all that kind of good stuff?
That's a good question. Well, yes, it would be indoor venues, and if there needs to be any special guidance, then, of course, the Department of Health will guide that. Many of them are used to this because we've already had special elections during the COVID-19 pandemic, and so they will have to make sure that there's proper spacing, sanitizing, and they coordinate that with the Department of Health. During the special elections, they'll continue to do that.
Elaborate on what you want the federal government to do to make sure there's an adequate supply of testing, like how you want them to be involved.
It's to invoke the National Defense Production Act, which we've utilized for ventilators. We put that into place for there. We've done it to a certain extent in other areas, but it needs to be utilized in a broader extent in terms of looking at the challenge and testing supplies in the coming time frame. All right. Is there one more question remotely? We've got everybody. Y'all good? Art Smith? All right. With that, I hate to break it to you, but we are going to have a daily update tomorrow. And thank you very much. So we'll see you tomorrow or your outstanding substitutes.